You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
You might refer to this book as the book that almost wasn't, and you might also call it the book that finally came to life. The book is titled MacPap, subtitled Memoir of a Canadian in the Spanish Civil War, and the memoir was written by Ron Liversedge, a Canadian worker. It was completed in 1966. It was about his experiences in Spain from 1936 to 1939, but it was only 2 weeks ago that it finally was published and launched at People's Co-op Bookstore on Commercial Drive. The book launch was organized by David York. He's a retired labor lawyer, and he's the editor of the book. David York joins me in the studio to unravel for us the story of this book that finally did come to life. Morning, David.
Good morning, Mordecai.
Very warm thank you for bringing this book to life.
Well, you're very welcome. It was a pleasure.
I found in reading it, without exaggeration, not hype, just direct response, MacPap is a treasure.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought it really should finally get to see the light of day.
Well, let's start with the story of the publication of this book. We first can't assume that all listeners, given the generations that have passed, will know where the title comes from. Please explain MacPap.
Well, MacPap stands for people who served in the Mackenzie-Papineau Battalion. The Mackenzie-Papineau Battalion was one of the organizations in the International Brigades that were organized by the left to assist the Spanish Republican government when there was a fascist revolt and eventual civil war. So from around the world, people volunteered to go and fight in Spain under the banner of the international brigades, and most of the countries formed battalions or brigades and gave them the names of people who were heroes in their own country. Mackenzie and Papineau, of course, were the leaders of the 1837 rebellion against British colonialism in Upper and Lower Canada, and it was actually the centenary of that rebellion in 1937 that led people to take the name Mackenzie-Papineau as the Canadian battalion in Spain. And so the Canadians who fought in Spain are called the MacPaps, and Ron Liversedge was one of them.
Well, speaking of Ron Liversedge, can you tell us a little bit about this man who wrote the memoir of his time in Spain?
Ron was born in England in just at the turn of the century. He was a working class guy. His father worked in the textile industry. He started that way himself. Then World War I erupted, and he went off and served in World War I. During World War I, he had experiences that changed his political outlook. He became a Marxist. He would remain a Marxist for the rest of his life. At the end of the war, after being wounded and medically unfit, he tried to find work in England, couldn't. Tried to find work in Australia, couldn't. Came to Canada and couldn't find work here either. But in Canada, he became very involved in the unemployed movement, in the relief camp protests in the 1930s, and was a very central participant in the On to Ottawa trek of 1935. And he wrote the first full account of the On to Ottawa trek. I think personally that he actually saved the On to Ottawa trek from becoming a historical obscurity by a wonderful book he wrote called Recollections of the On to Ottawa Trek, which was the first and the classic account of that struggle.
Not unusual, I would say, for a person from a poor working class environment. He had very little schooling as well.
Ron left the schooling he had at age 12, never had any further formal education, and he nevertheless has written in a very punchy and readable style both his books on the On to Ottawa Track and his memoir of Spain.
Now, he completed his memoir in 1966, but the book wasn't published until this year. That's 47 years later. What happened between finishing and publishing?
Well, what happened 40 years ago is a bit of a mystery. Ron was a member of the Communist Party. He submitted his book to the publishing house of the Communist Party, a publisher called Progress Books. And at first, it appeared that they were going to publish it, that there were notices that it was forthcoming. But for reasons which I have never been able to fully understand, they changed their mind, and it never was published by them. He was disappointed by that. He turned to a Vancouver social historian, Irene Howard, and she spent 2 years of her life going to the mainstream and as well some of the new emerging left publishing companies in about 1970, 1971. And for some reason or other, nobody at that time was interested. I don't understand that myself, but nevertheless, it was a long process of trying to get the book published, and he died, unfortunately, without ever having seen it in print.
And what sort of reasons? I mean, you send something off to a publisher. Usually they give you their, we don't want this because.
Well, I've read, actually, all of the rejection letters they had at the time, and most of them are pretty circumspect. Most of them give sort of generalities like it isn't the kind of book that we've or the kind of subject that we deal with, or that in some cases just a sort of a blank rejection. In a couple of cases, they would say things like, well, it wasn't bloodthirsty enough. There was too much of an actual real-life description of what a soldier's life is like, and, you know, not enough battlefront stuff. I think that in some cases it was the end of the Cold War. Ron is very, very upfront and very direct about the politics of the situation and his involvement in the Communist Party and the Communist Party's support of this effort. And I think that probably even in 1970 and 1971 scared some of the people off.
And when did you first see the manuscript?
Oh, well, that's the embarrassing story. That's the embarrassing story. I first saw the manuscript in 1972. The one and only time that I visited Ron, the one and only time I met him, I was there visiting him about the On to Ottawa Trek and the Workers' Unity League. That was a paper that I had written, and I went to interview him about that. I didn't know he had been in Spain. I didn't know he had written the memoir, and I certainly didn't know about the two-year struggle to have his memoir published. But just as I was leaving, I was actually on the porch of his little house in Lake Cowichan, he said, just a second, and he went back into the room and came back with a old brown envelope and said, here, take this away and have a look at it. And I think that it's an interesting story that people would like to hear. And the embarrassing part for me is that I didn't look at it seriously at the time. I got involved in my own studies and my own work at that time. It was a pretty busy time for me, and it just got put on the side burner for a long, long time. So, yeah, I have had the manuscript since 1972.
So you have no reasons as to why you didn't go further with it at that time. You were preoccupied with other activities.
I was preoccupied, and And I think that the truth of the matter is that I didn't really, at that stage in the game, understand what a wonderful book he had written and how important this story is.
Now, I mentioned that he was largely self-educated, you said, up to the age of 12. You find out in the preface that you wrote that he was a voracious reader. You list yourself as the editor of the book. What did you do to the text that you inherited?
Well, I did three things. The first was that I wrote the biographical essay about Ron and the story of this book, which is the first part of the volume that was published. With regard to his memoir itself, I was quite careful to try to keep his voice because he has a very peculiar, unique, wonderful, straight-ahead, punchy kind of writing style that comes through both in his On to Ottawa Trek book and this one that I didn't want to be lost. So I basically just edited it for readability. Ron didn't believe in paragraphs, and he didn't much believe in punctuation, and sometimes he'd repeat himself a bit. I just tidied it up and made a few corrections of dates and things, and basically left what he wrote to tell his story his way. Then, because there were a lot of references to people in the 30s and places in the 30s, that I think today's readers wouldn't know about, I did a number of annotations and a few commentaries at the end of the book, and did a bibliography and thanked a lot of people who helped me with this. That's about what I did.
Well, I think the goal of keeping his voice is wonderfully accomplished. There's a style of speaking, writing, which you feel you're really in contact with a real human being. It has a combination of simplicity and eloquence for me as a reader. And so congratulations on retaining that voice and bringing it to life us today. His account of his combat in Spain also conveyed some other remarkable qualities to my mind. Three in particular, resilience, an absence of bravado, and freedom from sectarianism. I wonder if you had any comments on that, whether you would agree with that or see it differently or add something.
He was very modest. He didn't self-promote at all. He just told things the way they were. I think he knew that there was an interesting story and that he had to make it interesting through his writing style. And I think he did accomplish that wonderfully. It really is a style that takes you back to the times and gives you the sense that he is just telling his story without any agenda other than making sure that the story is remembered and that the story is told. The absence of sectarianism I found interesting as well. There was a huge amount of sectarianism going on in the Spanish Civil War, actually more than sectarianism. I mean, there was internecine bloodshed at various points on the Republican side. He doesn't pay much attention to that. He doesn't attempt to explain that or to get involved in the controversies. I think he himself just said, "Well, there's a job here to do, and I'm just going to try and do it and go straight ahead, and we'll work out these problems." But he doesn't in the book trouble you with a lot of the arcane politics that were going on. And of course, there were a lot of arcane politics. If people are looking for the mysteries or the secrets of all of the political controversies that were going on. No, Ron doesn't do that because that isn't what he was there for. He was there to help them as he could in terms of trying to get the war won, and that's what he talks about.
It certainly is true, and it struck me particularly. Here's a man, along with other Canadians, who's smuggled himself across North America, really, and lands, is going to land in a boat in Spain. And the boat is sunk as they're landing by the fascist forces. And he simply, it's almost as if, well, I was running to catch a bus. I slipped, I got up, and I caught the bus. It's almost as natural as that, it seems. It's not saying anything maudlin, any sympathy that's asked for. Here's what happened, but I'm not dwelling on it because I did survive and I got to fight, which was my purpose, to try and defeat the fascist forces in Spain.
His description of the sinking of the ship, the city of Barcelona, I found remarkable just for its straightforwardness as well. In it, he does actually, I think, pay tribute to a lot of the other survivors who, in fact, were quite heroic in saving as many of the lives as they could. It was a horrific sinking. It was sunk by a torpedo from a fascist submarine, and there was a large loss of life. But there was also a remarkable rescue effort that did save the lives of many of the people, and he pays tribute to the people who participated in that. He participated in that himself, but as you say, he doesn't dwell on that. He just says, well, we got past that one, and now what's next?
Well, thank you again for bringing the book to life, and I highly recommend it to people. I'm going to just also say a comment on the design. I thought it was particularly impressive with the rare photos and war photography of Robert Capa. And I hope it becomes well read by many.
Well, thanks very much, Mort. And I thank New Star Books and Rolf Maurer for putting that cover together and getting the book out at last.
I've been speaking with David York. He's editor of the book MacPap, Memoir of a Canadian in the Spanish Civil War. You can find copies of it at a lot of bookstores, but I'm sure first where the book was launched at the People's Bookstore on Commercial Drive.